Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, where we explore all things related to the natural night. We learn about astronomy, what plants and animals do at night, the pros and cons of different types of lighting, and the exciting new developments in lighting choices that give us the light we need and the natural dark nights that all life depends on for health and normal function.
And I'm Susan. We'll visit with people from around Wisconsin and other places about all this and more. Today, we're leaving winter and heading into spring with a focus on something special that occurs at night in the spring and summer. Stay tuned. We'll get started first with the phenology report for May. There's a lot going on now, so go out and look for some of these spring activities.
Fox kits are playing outside. Spy on them as they frolic in the grass. Warblers are returning. Keep an eye on the treetops and see how many you can identify. Snapping turtles are laying their eggs. Trillium blooming and star flowers blooming. Don't pick. Monarch butterfly returned from their winter home in Mexico. White-tailed deer fawns can be spotted. Did you catch the pun? Dragonflies are trying out their wings as they hunt their tasty mosquito lunch. Welcome, dragonflies. Grouse are drumming. Tadpoles, no legs yet. Staghorn sumac are leafing out. Time to harvest fiddleheads. Yummy, freshened salads or pickled for a tangy treat. Eta, aquarid, meteor shower peaks, May 5th through 6th, but the moon will be 84% full, which may hinder viewing of the faint meteors. May 16th, the new moon provides the best time of the month for the stargazing as the sky is at its darkest. May 31st is the full blue moon, the second full moon in May, often referred to as the calendrical blue moon. Venus remains brightest planet visible in the night sky. Look to the west. Venus will not disappoint you.
It's already starting to be quite beautiful out there with things growing and birds singing and blooming flowers. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in May.
Lusty month of May.
Yeah. And our calendar of events for May includes the monthly Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative Board of Directors meeting on Monday, May 4th. That's today at 7 p.m. It's a Zoom meeting. If you would like access to this meeting, anyone is welcome to join. Go to info@fourdarkskies.org. That's info@4darkskies.org. The monthly Wisconsin Dark Sky meeting, that's a statewide meeting, is on Wednesday, May 20th at 6:30 p.m. This is a Zoom meeting, and anyone, again, is welcome to attend. For a link to the meeting, go to darkskywi.org/contact/. That's darkskywi.org/contact/. Frog survey walks are informally held Tuesday evenings from 15 minutes after sunset for as long as anyone wants to walk and listen. Meet at the south gate of Old 131 Trail in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve at the parking area. Sometimes we extend the walks for astronomy or other night watching activities. For last minute information, the only kind there is for this event, email info@fourdarkskies.org. That's info@4darkskies.org. If you don't hear from us, come on out anyway. You'll enjoy the frogs even if the group isn't walking that night.
Our sponsor for May is the Whippoorwill. Once common in our hills, they can still be heard in some locations. When not singing their famous song, whippoorwills eat many insects, especially mosquitoes, beetles, and moths. They nest on the ground and are very hard to see, so when walking through the woods in the spring, watch your step. These birds are often found in our literature, from poems about Emily Dickinson, Stephen Vincent Benet, and Robert Frost, to the legend of Sleepy Hollow. They are mentioned in Faulkner's short story, The Barn Burning, Hank Williams' song lyrics, and lines by Clark Gable spoken in It Happened One Night. And not least, they are mentioned in Kurt Vonnegut's novel Slapstick. Let's say thank you to the whippoorwills, hidden in the forest by day, but an important part of our ecosystem by night, and enjoy their enthusiastic song if you're lucky enough to live near them. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
Well, Carol, as you know, the birds are back. The most exciting, inspiring part of the eternal spring renewal might be the song of returning migrating birds as they begin their summer sojourn in our hills, meadows, and marshes, and they join the resident birds who've already begun announcing their nesting territories by changing their songs from winter versions to enthusiastic spring melodies. We hear more bird songs every morning as we step outside or open a window, but today we'd like to explore birds that sing at night.
What birds sing at night? We know owls do, but it sounds like there are more birds singing at night than just owls. Do birds that sing during the day also sometimes sing at night? Why would they do that when usually night is their time for rest?
Well, there are quite a few birds that sing at night, and for a variety of reasons. Even if we have not heard a northern loon or a nightingale, their presence in stories and songs are so common that they're somewhat familiar. Those birds don't live in our area, so we're going to focus on the birds today that live here that we can hear at night. And we'll start with one of the most common ones because they often are the first bird to begin singing these spring mornings.
Robins will start chirping well before dawn and seems to become more inspired as the faintest pre-dawn light appears in the eastern sky. They may be interrupting the sleep of other birds who prefer to begin singing when there is daylight and they can see. It seems to me the robin is the alarm clock for all the other birds and for me, telling them to start waking up. Gradually, as the first hints of dawn appear, other birds slowly join in as the robin gets louder and louder until the dawn chorus is at full volume. Robins will also call or sing when the moon rises.
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't think about them as night birds, but they do sing in the dark before it gets light.
Yeah, they do. They almost like the choir master for all the birds.
Here's one of my favorites. And this lovely bird can sing endlessly, which some people don't like. They are now rare here, but once our hills were filled with whippoorwills. They need open woodland to nest and raise their young. As our forests fill with new species that cover the ground between trees, there really isn't much place for these magical birds to live. Historically, whippoorwills expanded their territory into many areas as colonizing Europeans brought cattle and allowed them to graze in woodlands where there was little or no grass. The cattle damaged the forest ecosystems, but they left open areas the whippoorwills found perfect for nesting. Some people can't sleep if there's a whippoorwill singing nearby, but I love them, and I can doze and wake all night listening to that song. The last whippoorwills in our valley had a territory that ended on our kitchen step. Every spring and summer, The bird would sing and fly in a big arc from the far end of our valley to the kitchen step, which seemed to be the main stopping point for an extended period of singing. Our bedroom window was directly above his perch, so we'd lay awake for a long time, night after night, listening to him sing back up the valley to the west, and then the north, and then slowly to the east, and south again to the kitchen step. We couldn't sleep for anticipating his arrival below our window, where the volume of his calls made conversation impossible. All the while I was losing sleep, the whippoorwill was still one of my favorite birds.
I remember the whippoorwill as a child, and in my memory, it's stamped as that feeling a child has when spring and summer arrives, and it's really calming to me.
Yeah.
And brings back that warm, comfy feeling that children have when they're tucked in their bed with the window open, listening to the sounds of the night.
Well, night herons are another bird that we have around here. They live in our marshy areas, and they're named because they have very good night vision and they're active at night. Their short barking calls can be heard throughout our region, anywhere near a wetland, usually. Listen for this bird when you're near ponds or marshes at twilight and into the dark. I don't have a night heron call, but you can go to eBird or Audubon and you can listen to them. They're not melodic, but you often wouldn't know they were a bird. They're kind of a barking sort of call. Yeah. They're common in southern Arizona near water, and I spend some time there in the winter. And in midtown Tucson, there's a large park that's got ponds with a lot of birds in them, and night herons seem to spend the winter there, and they're quite used to people. So you can easily see these birds in the daytime and watch them. They can be young ones and quite a few of them sometimes. So it's kind of fun to get a good look at night herons there.
Susan, how does Tucson, being a dark sky city, affect night herons and other wildlife in the city of Tucson itself?
Well, they seem to live there all winter, and they must be, they fly out to different wetlands and ponds to feed, but I don't really know in areas that have more light pollution that they have many birds. I don't know for sure, but you know, you don't go to Phoenix to look at birds, you go to Tucson. So if the big city that has the light pollution does not seem to attract the birds, that whether they're day or night birds, because they can't rest at night if there's light pollution. So that's a question I don't have an exact answer for, but I know that Tucson really supports a lot of water birds in the winter, and some of them hunt at night, like the night heron.
It's an interesting question, I think.
Yeah, I'll try to find out a little more about that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think somebody, the Audubon people down there would know,
yes.
I think. Yeah. Well, one of the most beautiful bird songs we have is that of the wood thrush. I think of them as our nightingales, for they sing at twilight and sometimes in the dark, and their flute-like song is captivating. There's really no other song like it. On late afternoons, just as twilight comes, they will sometimes start singing in the daytime too. Actually, they do sing in the day some, but they're often an evening twilight kind of singer.
Yes.
So, and one afternoon, it was during the day, but I was walking above my house in the hillside, and three wood thrush flew right past my face. I mean, I could feel their wings brush me. And they were flying around each other. They circled me, and they were just weaving back and forth. Then they rested on a nearby branch, and after a moment or two, they came back and circled me one more time again and flew away. Now, this could have been two males and a female or some kind of a courting mating flight of some kind, but it was just magical to have them flying around me so close. And so I just always remembered that as a...
Yeah, it sounds like they were welcoming you.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Even though maybe I was just in the way, but it felt like they were they were saying something to me. Wood thrushes have an interesting capability. All birds have a syrinx instead of our type of vocal cords, and it's Y-shaped. The wood thrush's syrinx has an adaptation that allows them to make two sounds at one time. And so the sound seems to come from different locations. It's sort of a harmonic kind of thing. They're an avian ventriloquist, and if you hear that sound and it sounds a little different to you, it's flute-like and it has overtones, it's the wood thrush.
Pipes of Pan.
Yeah, maybe, northern mockingbirds we have here, and they call and sing at night. These birds are very interesting. They can have over 200 calls or songs. Not every bird will have that many, but they have many, many songs. And they're fond of being active when the moon is full. Since their songs are so varied, if you're not familiar with them, use Merlin or another bird app to identify their call, and then turn the doggone phone off and just listen. They can surprise you with a number of sounds they make.
What's interesting about the northern mockingbird is that they instinctively learn songs of birds in their area, but they are not born with that knowledge of how to produce those songs. So they are actually learning songs in their area, but also when they migrate, they will learn songs of those birds as they are going along their route. And I think that's how they accumulate 200 songs, is as they are migrating from north to south and south to north. They're picking up a lot of lessons.
Yeah, and especially an older bird maybe that's lived a few years and made the migration several times would be the ones to have the big repertoire of songs. Yeah. And of course, the owls are the quintessential night singers. Owl calls are familiar to all of us, and we have several species here. We have barred owls, great horned owls, screech owls, long-eared owls, short-eared owls, saw-whet owls, and once in a while, snowy owls come through. Some of their calls are rarely heard these days, such as barn owls. And sometimes owls call during the day, but they are a night-hunting bird, and they do call at night. Their calls will vary from barks and squeals and monkey-like sounds to patterns of soft hoots and, of course, the famous screech owl's whinnying kind of spooky sound. And they always bring, any owl brings a real special magic to a woodland night. They fly silently, and their vision and hearing is far more acute than most other birds, so they have a special place in the night sky.
Why do some birds call or sing at night?
Well, there's a lot of reasons they can sing in the dark. We don't know all of them. Some of it's their behavior since forever, because if they're hunting at night or active, like an owl, that would naturally be when they would sing. And some causes are forced on the birds by humans because light pollution disrupts their activity levels.
Yes.
And they might sing at night because the light wakes them up and disturbs them. But we can fix those problems, so hopefully there'll be less of birds singing at night that should be sleeping. Natural reasons birds sing at night can be because of full moons or eclipses. The unusual changes in lighting when a full moon rises just after the sun sets may inspire some birds to start singing again, as will an eclipse of a full moon when the moonlit sky relatively suddenly goes dark for a while and then becomes bright again. The birds seem to be disturbed. They wake up, call a bit, and then go back to sleep. Some birds, the night herons, owls, whippoorwills, and others, they're nocturnal anyway, so they're going to be vocalizing then. There are now some problems with the birds being awake with the light pollution. When they become active and sing at night, sometimes they can become exhausted because they've also been active all day. This may affect their survival under some circumstances, or at least weaken the birds, making them vulnerable to predators and other stresses they normally would survive if they had adequate rest. And this is usually what happens when the light upsets them day, night after night after night, and they just can't find a normal darkness to sleep in.
It's another good reason to turn off those outside lights when you're not using them.
Yeah, we don't realize there's creatures out there that are really needing that dark to rest.
Yes. Yeah.
Sudden noises that disturb resting birds often cause them to vocalize too. Noise from machinery, intermittent human voices, airports, and other human activities all interrupt birds' night resting needs. In cold weather or under stressful conditions, the extra work of vocalizing and being awake at night may be a dangerous burden for the bird. Threats from predators may suddenly wake a resting bird, who then will call out in alarm, warning others of the danger, as well as possibly threatening the predator. Especially early in the evening, birds may call to each other as they settle into roosting locations or nests. Affiliative calls to keep track of members of a flock occur until they're all settled in for the night. Sharing the evening and night with songbirds is one of the pleasures of being familiar with night as a time and place to enjoy the world. For the next few weeks, make time to leave behind artificial lights and human noises. Venture into the twilight colors and cooling air. Walk slowly. Stand and listen. Breathe in the scents of spring flowers and wait for the sounds to rise to the shadows and mist and fading sunset colors. The sounds of blackbirds roosting, ducks flying toward their watery sleeping places, a faraway owl calling in the hills. Nearby, in the leaves and new stems of grass, insects are chirping. Maybe glowworms catch your eye. Stand and wait some more. What is that sound? A frog? An insect? A water bird? Imagine that unknown wild one waking to the evening's work of finding food, maybe even finding a mate or traveling somewhere. Feathered or furred, or maybe submerged in the cool pond water, whoever is calling is keeping their place in the great scheme of life, adding in countless ways to the web of life we depend on for every breath we take. Why don't you join them? When you hear a bird or a frog, what sound would you make to join an evening chorus celebrating the beauty of the day and the night to come? Why don't you try singing or whistling or speaking? Experiment in finding your place in the world after dark along with the birds.
What I find interesting at night is that you really can't see who's calling, and you have to rely on your hearing in order to focus in on the sound and to discern who's calling at night.
Yeah, sometimes you just really can't tell. Some birds sound like insects, and sometimes frogs or other things almost sound like a bird. I mean, it can be very interesting to try to figure that out.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, I think, being out at night and having to rely on other senses than your sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where doing some night walks where you just play around with that gets to be very interesting. Thinking about your location and the height on the ground or above the ground the sound's coming from, and any senses besides just hearing, what do you smell, what else is calling, what stopped calling when that sound came? I mean, if the owl is calling, maybe something else got quiet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then all at once, if you live anywhere near a woods, even in our community, you'll hear a sudden sound that you never expected, like a raccoon or an eastern screech owl.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I woke up before dawn, and all at once I heard this barking. And I didn't know what it was. It wasn't real familiar. It wasn't a dog. You know, it wasn't a raccoon. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And so when I went outside, this after I was up and drinking a cup of coffee, wandering kind of through my garden, the neighbor came over and she said, "Did you hear the fox this morning?" Well, apparently there's a fox with eight kits.
Eight?
Eight.
That's very unusual.
Very unusual. Oh. And they have a burrow in her backyard. And so she was very excited, and so was I, because I think that's what it was.
Yes, yes. If you've got a fox there, it's like it's the obvious answer is probably the answer.
Yes.
And that's wonderful. I think that as we remove so much habitat around us, I mean, we're just surrounded by cornfields. There's no prairie grasslands anymore for any, all those animals that lived in prairie and grasslands are gone. And some of them have made inroads into our towns, and they'll live in a park or a golf course or somewhere where they can find the space they need. So the good thing about that is we might get to see them where we wouldn't otherwise. But the bad thing is they're struggling to survive in a place that isn't really meant to support them.
Well, that's right, except that we have mice.
Well, yes, and having fox nearby is a good thing.
Yeah, moles and the woodchuck that's living under our deck.
Yeah.
Not that I wish these critters harm, but they really don't belong under my deck. Making our community, which is small, Viroqua's small, a welcoming habitat for a variety of wildlife really is beneficial.
There's many situations where we can live very comfortably with animals nearby, and they can do us a service too, like those fox will eat many, many mice. And you know, when the mice are gone or the population's reduced, the fox will go somewhere else. So they'll manage their own comings and goings.
Yes, yep, they will.
Well, there's a lot out there besides birds, folks. So we're kind of thinking about the birds because we were talking about how there's birds that sing at night people don't think about, and we thought that would be fun to kind of point out so you can listen during the spring to it. But listen for the fox and raccoon and frogs and everything else.
And remember, May is the peak season for bird migration, and turning off your lights becomes imperative for their well-being. There's no reason to have your lights on all night long. And so if you turn them off at 11 o'clock, so when the birds take off, they don't get confused as to where they're going. And they don't experience the night glow that is that can occur, which is not healthy for them.
Yeah, and even turn them off earlier if you can. And that's what we're going to leave you with. We hope you were inspired to enjoy the spring after dark. And you can contact us at info@fourdarkskies.org with any questions.
We'll leave you with a quote from the much-loved farmer-poet Wendell Berry, who said, "I have thrown away my lantern, and I can see the dark." I'm Carol.
And I'm Susan. Remember, turn off those lights, go outside, and look around at the beauty of the night.